We have a special guest coming this morning. She's going to share her testimony with us, or a little bit of her life, and where she's been, where she's going. She'll do that, and I'll introduce her in just a moment. Something else we're going to do today is right after the service is over, we're going to eat. And so we've got some folks that have prepared a lot of food, and a lot of people have brought some food. And so whether you're a guest or a member, we want you to stay today and eat with us. We've already got everything that you need. So if you haven't made plans right after the service, you'll just follow the stampede to the fellowship hall to my left. You know, I've always wondered why it is that some folks, they come to church, and then they come to a Baptist church, I should say, and they get involved, and then they stop. They quit coming for a while, and I was always wondering, what are those people doing? Well, I know now. I was thinking about it this morning, what those people are doing. They stop coming to our church because they need to lose weight. So what I'm trying to, because everything we do, we eat. And so I've noticed that if you want to see, it's pretty easy to pick off the people who have been faithful around here. But don't go skip a few Sundays, okay? But anyway, we want you to stay. We're going to have a good time. And part of what we do is we fellowship. I mean, we sing and we have messages and prayer. But it's also about contact. You know, this is a contact sport, Christianity. And we want to get to know you. And hopefully you want to get to know us, because we want to become friends. And that's why we do things like that. So please plan to stay if you can, if you don't already have plans. Something we're doing a little unusual this morning is instead of me getting right into my message, we're going to have Heather Moss come in just a moment, and she's going to share a little bit of her life with us, and then we're going to pray over Heather and in what the venture that she is going to leave on Tuesday to go to South Africa. We get an annual budget every year in our church, and so part of that money we take and we send it to missions. Part of the mission money, we send it a lot of different places, but part of it we send to the Baptist General Convention of Texas. They then take some of that money that we send them, and they send it to the International Mission Board. The International Mission Board is an entity of the Southern Baptist Convention, whereby missions and missionaries are funded and supported, not only for their living, but also for the projects that they entertain. And Heather is going to be a part of that for a couple years. She's going to tell us about it, but we're thankful for what we give so that it allows people like Heather to go and do what she's going to do. And we asked her before she leaves on Tuesday to come and share with us a little bit about her life. And then particularly, not only that we're going to pray over today, which we're going to do, but it will give you a good picture of how to pray for her over the next 2 years. Because that's where she's really going to need it. And that's what we certainly want to do. We love Heather. She's grown up in this church for a long, long time, and God has used her tremendously, and we're excited about what God's doing in her life. So, Heather, you come on and share with us a little bit about your life.
Good morning. Thank you so many for coming today. There's a lot of you that traveled here, and that means everything to me, from as far as Fort Worth and just everywhere. So I really appreciate that. I just really want to thank you. This was an exciting time for me coming back here, because I didn't realize how much that, you know, aside from just giving to the BGCT, you gave to Lottie Moon, and that goes 100% of the proceeds go directly to us serving overseas. So Brother Mike, I asked him, what should I share with you guys? And he said, oh, whatever you want. Oh, I'm so sorry. Okay. Can you hear me now? Okay. anyways, Brother Mike said to share whatever I want. So I was like, okay, well. So I just wanted to give you a little bit of background about me in case some of you don't know my story. Real quickly, my life before Christ, I lived just a life of legalism and perfection. And I, at a young age, I recognized that I needed Jesus as my Savior. And I accepted Him as Savior, but I didn't call Him Lord till I was in college. When Christ came into my life, He broke those chains of legalism, and I knew I couldn't do anything without Him. So He became my everything. After that, my life was changed, and I changed degrees, and I changed my goals, and I just gave the Lord a blank page and said, you write my story. And shortly after that, things were changing. And I remember feeling this strong call to serve people in the church. And that's what I did. I worked at youth camps, and I did some sports camps and ministry, and I led a college Bible study. And then shortly after that, I had this call to serve outside of the church. And that was the homeless ministry that so many of you have taken, you know, as your, you know, I guess just taken that torch for me. And I really just am so thankful for that, because the homeless hold a really deep or a very special place in my heart. And then in 2010, when the Lord just kind of rocked my world as much as He rocked the world in general with an earthquake in Haiti. And I remember driving to work and just hearing this, and my heart just broke. And I couldn't discern whether that was a call or whether it was just my heart breaking for people outside of the church and in the city. And so I just prayed. I asked people to pray for me, and I just continued seeking. And we were saying about Elijah, but I was thinking, I didn't hear the call in the thunder, and I didn't hear it in the lightning, and I didn't even hear it really in the earthquake. I heard it in a whisper. And actually, in Jeremiah 1, the Lord just really made clear what my life was going to look like. And so He said, Jeremiah 1:5, He says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. And then down, He says, do not say, I am only a youth, for to all to whom I send you, you shall go. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. And so, between that and Romans, I just knew that the Lord was calling me to missions. And so soon after that, I actually Googled missions, because I didn't know where to start. And thankfully, the Lord divinely intervened. And I ended up in Fort Worth, Texas. And there I worked with refugees from all over the world. And the Lord started working in me a new call that I wasn't quite sure of, and I thought I was going to be done, but I wasn't. He gave me dreams, and He wouldn't let those people's faces and all the nations just escape my heart and my mind. And so when I was in Fort Worth, there were a few people that really ministered to me and just told me that this was a call that, I mean, I just didn't really know what I was doing, but people that were speaking wisdom and counsel in my life, they introduced this journeyman to me through the IMB. And so that was in 2011. And in 2012, I dedicated that year to finishing school. And then in 2013, it was kind of a year of application. I kind of dragged my feet the entire time because I just was waiting for the Lord to call me somewhere else. And I was comfortable, and I remember going to the conference that they held prior to, where we got job assignments and we had to research and pray and seek. And the guy asked, he asked what was the biggest sacrifice? And he talked a lot about Abraham and Isaac and trying to find out what was our Isaac, what we needed to lay on the altar. And for me, it really is just my family. Like, that was the biggest thing that held me back, just because, you know, we're so close in age, and if you know us, that we're just really close. And so that was really hard for me. And then the Lord gave me a comfort. When I got called to Africa, and in Luke 18, he talks to the rich young ruler. And I remember reading this and just thinking, like, this is for people that are well off. And I don't know, that just wasn't, materialistic things weren't as big of a deal to me after I became saved. And but really, the Lord spoke something else to me. I really do have everything here. And he asked the rich young ruler to give it all up and to follow him. And I remember thinking, okay, well. And then he says in there, He says, see, we have left our homes and followed you. And Jesus said to them, truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who will not receive many times more in this time and in the age to come eternal life. And I remember thinking back to the disciples' question when they said, then who can be saved? And I just kept thinking about Isaiah and who will go. And I remember just looking to the Lord, and he says, what is impossible with men is possible with God. And so I just really related with that. And, you know, the Lord just gave me that promise and that comfort. And, you know, fast forwarding real quick to the field personnel orientation, which I was just at for almost 9 weeks. It was just a really sweet time of seeking the Lord and making friends and building relationships and growing a heart, not just for the people there, but a heart for you guys too, because y'all are the ones, you know, they didn't use the term missionaries there. They said sent out ones, that it was a little bit more, well, they said it was biblical, but it is. But I just remember thinking, okay, like, you know, because for security reasons and things like that, they just tell us, you know, to kind of drop the term missionary from our vocabulary. And so for 9 weeks, we spent time studying looking at prayer and doctrine and anthropology, Bible story. There were many speakers that came and shared successful methods of how they shared the gospel with us. Church planning and discipleship, persecuted church, spiritual warfare, security training, and then just being able to spend time with people that have been in Africa and could tell me more about the culture I was going to. When I was there, we had like all these different assignments, and some of them I kind of dragged my feet through that because honestly, there's just a lot going on. I mean, that's a lot that I just told you. We had to learn all of those, and our days were from 8 in the morning till 3 in the afternoon, which doesn't seem like long except that you're sitting and just listening. And that's just day after day for 8 weeks. But we had this evangelism assignment that they gave us at the very beginning, and they said that, you know, gradually we'd work up to sharing the gospel with 3 people every week. And so what we did was we had to talk to 3 people for 2 weeks. Didn't matter, just make conversation. And then the next 2 weeks, we had to go spiritual and try to get in a spiritual conversation. And then the last, like, 3.5 weeks, we had to just share the straight up just the gospel. And that was hard for me because here, growing up in South Texas, we know that, I guess just, You know, when you go and you even talk to people on the streets, people have heard the gospel over and over again, and you just have to figure out where they're at in their life and how to minister to them. But when I was there, there were people that I ran into that had never heard the gospel. And it was such an eye-opening thing for me because I thought, oh my goodness, like, this is what it's going to be like when I go in Africa. Because here it's relational, and, you know, really there it's, we have just such a short time. Everything just is so brief. And I'm really thankful for that time that I had at FPO. And I'm thankful that, I mean, there are alone the shots that I had to get, which I hate shots so much, but they said it's better than getting the disease. True. But I like cried the first time I went in there. It was really embarrassing. And I had them turn on the fan. And they were just, you know, one of the girls went in there with me and held my hand. But those alone cost $700+. And that's what y'all are giving to these 137 missionaries that are going with me, sent out ones. But, you know, in all of this, that the Lord has been working in my life, you know, one, he's just really humbled me, and I'm just so thankful to serve alongside the people that I worked with, but more than that, to invite you to serve with me. And I can't do this alone. I really do need you. And it's kind of a plead, because they talked about spiritual warfare there and how serious it is. And I need prayer. Like, I really do. The people that I'm going to need prayer. And this one person said, if you want to go fast, go alone. And if you want to go far, go together. And so I just invite you, you know, over the next 2 years to pray with me and pray for me. And don't just pray defensively, because that's what we tend to do is, Lord, help me in this situation, but pray offensively, you know, save these people, open their ears, and pray for opportunities for me, because my job with this going out is, I will get to minister, but I'm actually working with the media team, and so I'll be traveling sub-Saharan Africa, documenting stories so that y'all can read them, and that people, and the BGCT and everyone, so kind of just being that voice for justice and oppression. We talked about words this morning, which I'm not sure. I think we're all in the same Bible study thing. I'm not sure. But we talked about words this morning, and there really is a lot of power in the word, capital W, and just your words and my words. And so I'm just so thankful, but I just want to ask you guys to pray for me. And, you know, Brother Aaron shared Matthew 28:19. And although that is an invitation to everyone, he made it perfectly clear that we are to love, and through that love, go and preach the gospel. And so, yes, it starts at home, and then it goes out from there. And few will go, but and answer that call, which, like I said, it's a sent out one. It's a call. But I just, like I said, I just want you to pray for me. And so I have some prayer cards out in the lobby, and I want you to pick up those and keep them on your refrigerator, in your Bible, anytime you look at it. Just say a little prayer for me in South Africa. And if not, I also will be sending out a monthly update that I'll just ask for prayer and just let you know what's going on. And then my blog is called heatheringheights.com. And so I'll be updating, but because of security reasons, not necessarily for me, but because I'll be dealing with people that are in a security 3, which is the highest security within the IMB. Because I'll be dealing with those kind of people, I'm also a security 3. So, that's kind of it.
Yeah, there. We're going to pray for you in just a moment. Why don't you go back and just sit down for a minute? I'm just going to give a few words to close us before we pray for you. Isn't it so refreshing? You know, because we get so much bad news all the time. To have a young person come up here, right? You graduated from UTSA, Heather? Did you graduate from UTSA? Incarnate Word. And so she's a recent college graduate too. And isn't it refreshing to hear a young person get up here and talk about going and sharing the gospel with people she's never met? Pretty exciting. Pretty exciting. And so our prayer, too, is not only for Heather, but that God will use her influence, not only in Africa, but even right here, to influence the young people we have here in our church. Because if Heather can do it, maybe we have some young people out there going, hey, if Heather can do it, I can do it, too. And maybe I should think about and consider what God has for my life. One of the thoughts I had as we close here, no sermon today, okay? Y'all can relax, breathe easy. It's so funny, because when you have a calling in your life, like Heather does, I guess like I do, and we all have callings, but it, you know, sometimes it's different a little bit, and what God calls us to do. But when you're kind of in the vocation, people, we all have a calling, but people look at you differently. And I remember going to play golf in the youth thing last Saturday, and I played with Don and Jerry and another guy by the name of Doc. And Holly's husband, Don, told Doc, now, Doc, the preacher's playing with us today. You got to watch your mouth, Doc. You got to say nice things. You can't say any bad words. You know, and that's the way people look at you when you're a preacher. They can't be themselves. You're almost like an orangutan, you know, when you go to the zoo and you look at all the other animals, you go, oh, that's nice, that's nice, that's, and then you see the orangutan, you go, wow. He's really different. I remember interviewing a guy that was in my living room one time, and he was an evangelist, and I said, well, how are you doing with the change? Because you used to be a pastor, and now you're an evangelist. He said, well, when I was a pastor, he said, I only thought about doing something else in vocation every Monday. He said, now I think about it every day. And that's what happens to people with their calling sometimes. They will question it. And when will they question it? Well, what happens in life, as we've shared before, is sometimes we're up here on the mountaintops, but we can't stay up there. Sometimes we're where? We're in the valleys. And then sometimes we're just in between sometimes in here. And like today would be a what kind of experience? A valley experience or a mountaintop? A mountaintop. I mean, this is great. It's awesome. We're all ooey-gooeying, right, having fun and enjoying ourselves and refreshed because of what God's doing in Heather's life. And Heather's right there, too. But she'll go over there to Africa, and it'll be exciting on the plane, and she'll get there, and she'll meet people, and God will be working through her lives. But then there'll be things that'll happen to her over there, things like heat. I don't know how to spell mosquitoes, flies. She'll get tired. And one more thing will happen. She will miss her family, won't she? Because it won't be the same. And so she won't always be up here on the mountaintop. Sometimes she may feel like she's in the valley. We're all like that. What do we do? When sometimes what we do is we question the calling that God has for us. We need to prepare for that now, not then. I read a book this week, and it was a secular book about the marketplace. And it talked about creating customers. And most, or much of the time, companies manipulate people to get quick profits and to get quick customers. But what the author noted was, is that manipulation may create quick profits and quick customers, but not long-lasting customers with loyalty through good times and bad times. He said what those customers need is inspiration. And he defined inspiration as explaining why, not the what, not the how of the product, but the purpose of the product. He said, Apple, of course, has done a great job. They have a cultic following. Dell doesn't have that following. And my job was to make a correlation between that and what we do. And I think it applies. You see, because when this comes up right here, what we must be able to go back to is this right here. Why are we doing what we're doing? Not only in Africa, but right here in this church. In your family. Staying married to your spouse. Being faithful to your children. Obeying your parents. It's not enough just to tell people what to do and how to do it. We must promote and proclaim and often why they should do it. And so in closing, I would say to Heather and to all of us that the why is encapsulated in the fact that the Bible says that God loves us. That's why I'm doing this. That's why I'm going to go to Africa, leave my mom and dad for a couple of years. That's why I'm going to keep coming to church. That's why I'm going to keep staying faithful to my wife. And as a father and as a husband and as a mother and as a young person. Why? Because God loves me and I want to love him back. That's what will keep you coming, even if you need to lose weight. So what we're going to do now, and we want to remind you, too, to be sure and get that little thing that Heather has in the front, you know, so you can, because some of you don't know Heather. We want you to know who she is and take that little thing with you, and it'll be in the foyer. But I'm going to ask Heather, you come on here to the front. Just stand up here and face the people. I'm going to ask all the deacons, if they will, to come forward and just surround Heather. Just stand right over here, Heather, and you can look at everybody. And they can look at you. And have all the deacons just stand around her. And then when they get through doing that, we're all going to just pray for a few minutes silently for Heather. And then I will close us in prayer. So why don't you go ahead and just bow your heads and start praying. And ask the Lord to help you to put it on your heart to continue to pray for Heather. And all those that God is going to use to influence through her life. And anyone else that would like to come, in addition to the deacons, may come and stand here with Heather as well, or family. Anybody else that wants to come, feel free to do that. And then we're just going to pray silently for a few minutes, all of us together. Thank you, Father, for Heather's testimony today, how encouraging it was to all of us. It was encouraging because you not only called Heather, but she answered that call. Father, we are just overwhelmed by that. And we are influenced. It makes all of us want to look at our own lives and look at where we are and where we need to be and how we need to pay attention to what's really important. And that is for your will in our lives. And now we pray for Heather, and we pray that you will watch over her. You will protect her. You will keep her as you keep the apple of your eye. And Lord, that you will use her. Lord, that you will speak through her. That her hands and her feet will be your hands and feet. That her words will be your words. There are people in South Africa that we know you want to use her to touch their lives. Not only for this life, but for eternity. We pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to fill her life and usher through her life to many other people. Help us, Lord, and remind us to pray for Heather as if she were our own daughter. And we thank you. And maybe, Lord, there'll be other young people that'll see Heather's life and say, Heather can do it. So can I. Thank you, Father, for answering our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.